a series that started with the title of Holy Spirit 101, meaning it was pretty foundational. During that series, I did talk about some of those things that hinder us from walking by the Spirit, to live by the Spirit. And those things are sometimes we get caught up in self-justification. We bring ourselves under the law. I'm a good guy. I'm not like him. I'm not like her. And I also then had talked about sometimes we come up with another gospel, and Paul in his writings oftentimes says, why have you picked up this other gospel? Are you believing another gospel? And sometimes that other gospel fits in with more of our contemporary ideas, more of our modern culture, and it simply is anti the true gospel. I talked about the flesh gets in the way of walking by the Spirit. You know, we all love the flesh, don't we? Yeah. And I also then talked about the mind. Where do you set your mind? Is your mind set on things above, or is your mind set on things here? And all of these things interfere with our walk in the Spirit. And today that we're moving on, and we're going to go to Holy Spirit 102. Yeah, okay. And it's called Being Led. And if I could have the next scripture, I'm going to go through these pretty quickly, and then I'm going to stop. Let me go to Galatians 5:25. If you live by the Spirit, then let us also walk by the Spirit. You've heard me say this, and I want to real emphasize it. The Holy Spirit, a lot of times we just think of the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Trinity. We think of it as something we believe in. We think of it as a good piece of theology. But if we don't really experience the Holy Spirit, if we do not recognize that He is indeed in us, and He has a lot of functions, and I'm going to talk about those today, we're missing what we need to, what's been given to us. The next slide. The work of the Holy Spirit is to manifest the active presence of God in the world, and especially in the church. If we don't become people who openly speak of the Holy Spirit and what He's doing in our lives, we are not being the light that God has intended us to be. And so you say all of these things, or I say all of these things, and I want to look at just a few scriptures, and then I'm going to pause. Let's go to 1 John. And we know by this that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. You understand that we've been given His Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:12-13. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught with human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. And this next one, 1 Corinthians. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the temple of God dwells in you? And my last one, from Romans 8:14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, we could take a lot of time unpacking all of that, but I'm just going to assume that you get the point. The Spirit of God lives in you. He's been given to you, and you are this gift that's been presented. It's for you to walk in. It's for you to live by. It's for you to listen to Him. So, with all that said, I'm going to follow along Paul's book in the book of Romans. And I, don't quote me on this, but I think Paul raises 50 questions in the book of Romans. And that seems to be a technique that he uses. He says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" He's asking a question. So I'm going to ask you, this is a rhetorical question, so I'm not looking for you to stand up and go, ooh, ooh, ooh. Maybe I will. I don't know. I'll change. Give me a chance to change my mind. But my question is, what did you expect when you came here this morning? I don't know. Well, if you don't know, then that's exactly what you're going to get. Did you expect the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to open your eyes to something, to teach you something? Did you come in with an expectation to say, "Lord, I'm ready to be filled with you. Pour into me. Lord, I came this morning expecting an answer to this problem that has been plaguing me. I came expecting." Did you come expecting? Or did you just say, "Whew, at least I turned the clocks back, so I'm not late or early"? One of the things that I find when I'm reading the book of Acts is that the Holy Spirit spoke a lot. You don't have these slides, but in Acts, the 13th chapter, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart Barnabas and Saul for this journey." The Holy Spirit said, well, they must have been listening. They must have been expecting that. In Acts 15, the scripture says, "And it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit." A lot of times when we are facing day-to-day things, we go, "Oh, it seemed good to me." And you know who we leave out of it? Yeah, that guy who's inside. Acts 16. "We were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go into Asia." Imagine that. Holy Spirit said, "I don't want you to go into Asia, Paul." "Well, I'm preaching the gospel." "I don't want you to go." See, so there's an evidence that the Holy Spirit was speaking and they were listening. In 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul writes, "And the Spirit explicitly says." Wow, I like that word, explicitly. The Spirit explicitly says, "In the last days," and then he goes on to what the Holy Spirit is telling him will happen in the last days. So my question still is there. Did you come expecting to hear from the Holy Spirit? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I'll take you all off the hot seat now, okay? I mean, I have to ask myself that too. Whenever, not necessarily when I'm teaching, but when I come. What am I expecting? Am I expecting to be changed? Am I expecting to hear something? What am I expecting? And I hope it's not, "Well, I went to church." Checklist. I said hello to 3 people. Checklist. test yourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourself. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you fail the test. Test yourselves. And if you find yourself saying, wow, I need to pay attention because the Holy Spirit wants to speak to me. He wants to do things. And I'm going to go over a number of things this morning that will help you understand what he does in you. And if you want to go to the next slide, his work in you does five things. It reveals, and that's a big topic, and I'm going to break it down a little bit. He empowers, he transforms, he unifies, and he gifts. Now, I'm not going to touch on gifts because Judah spent 3 weeks on that, and I know after those 3 weeks you have that breakdown pat. I could call any one of you up here and you could just preach on it right away. Todd had his hand up. Oh, he said he was drinking coffee. Okay. Okay. You're supposed to laugh at my jokes, okay? Okay. Let's talk about what it means to be, what his work in us is to be revealed. Let's go to the next slide. It's a broad term that means he wants to show you things. He wants to show you things in the scriptures. He wants to show you things about Jesus. He wants to show you things about God. He wants to show you things about himself. He wants to reveal these things. He wants to teach you. He wants to show you mysteries. Isn't that great? How many of you approach the scriptures saying, man, I'd like to, what mystery is here that God wants to show me? He wants to help you. And that's his job. That's what he was sent to do. He wants to convict you. Yeah, he knows. He knows when you took that candy bar from Sheets. He saw it. He wants to convict you. He wants to console you. He wants to say, I understand what you're going through. Let me come along beside you. Let me comfort you. Let me fill you. Let me speak to you. A lot of times we just have our ears closed. 2 Corinthians. Things, that's 2 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. Things which eye hath not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us, God has revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit teaches all things, even the depths of God. Wow, this is what the Spirit wants to do. Wants to open things to us so that we're not walking around with blinders on. Deuteronomy 29:29. Oh, I'll tell you, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us. And to our sons forever. God has revealed certain things. Paul says, in those of you who are in the Ephesians study, Paul wrote, now it has been revealed to us through the holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit that the Gentiles were supposed to be brought into the kingdom. It's been revealed by the Spirit. John 16. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will give you revelation. There's always more. My wife and I were talking about that the other day. We read, I never saw that before. There's always more. There's always something he wants to show you. It's not as if you've got it all packed up in your little knapsack. I got it all down pat. And about that time, he opens your eyes to something you hadn't seen before. He'll guide you. He'll guide you in the truth. Did you ever find yourself in a situation? You say, Lord, this is tough. My boss, he's acting like a jerk. Holy Spirit, would you give me wisdom? Yes, I would. I remind you that a kind word turns away wrath. Oh, okay. I won't call him a knucklehead. I just love him like I'm supposed to. He'll guide you into all truth. So he reveals things. He also empowers us. Now, we love that word, P-O-W-E-R, power. Superman, the Fantastic Four. I can stop buildings from falling over. I can save damsels in distress. And that's not what power is in God's eyes. Power in God's eyes is he empowers you to be humble. He empowers you to love the unlovable. He empowers you to give good words of encouragement. He empowers you to deny yourself. Oh, boy, do I need the Holy Spirit for that. One of the gifts God has given me is the gift of tongues. And oftentimes, when I'm in a difficult situation and I don't know how to pray or what to pray, he empowers me and allows me to use that gift. And I know that those words go to God. And I don't understand them, but he does. And I know that prayer is really effective. Let's go to Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And I like that part. Because he can do it beyond what you even think. And sometimes I think strangely a lot of times, but don't want people laughing. Beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus and to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The power that works within us. The Holy Spirit is in us and empowering us. He's not left us as orphans here. He said, I'm going to send my Spirit so that you have life and can be empowered, that your flesh won't guide you, that your mind won't guide you, that my Spirit will guide you and teach you and empower you. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do you believe God's at work in you? or are you at work in you? John 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. What fruit am I to bear? I'm to bear love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Are these being evidenced in me? Is God is at work reminding me that I do and can have self-control, that I can be kind and should be kind, that my ways should be gentle. And by that, all men will know, your Father will be glorified. The Holy Spirit's working in me, changing me. Colossians 1. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Second Peter, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. If you want to leave here boasting in anything, boast that by his power, he's granted you everything. Not most things, everything pertaining to life and godliness. Because he's poured his Spirit into you, that you may partake of him, that you may taste of him. Scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's go on to the third thing that the Holy Spirit intends to do, and that is transforms. We're moving on down to transforms. There we are. I may need your help on this. These little toys that you guys get, that they look like a car, and then you twist them around. Was I calling on you? I wasn't calling on you. I was calling on Levi.
I thought you were talking about this one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a transformer. No sleep. I'm sorry, Dan answered your question for you. Yeah. See, God is in the business of transforming us. His Holy Spirit says, I don't want you to be like that. And so he points these things out, and he empowers you, and he says, I am turning you into Christ. I'm making you Christ-like. Wow. can I turn water into wine? No, 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 you're missing the point. You're missing the point. I'm transforming you so that those in need, you will feel empathy for. Those who are hurting, you will have a word of encouragement for. Those who are lost, you will show them a way. Everybody knows this one, but I'm going to use it anyway. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. See, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. And as new creatures, you are the first fruits of this new creation that God is bringing about. Jesus was the very first fruit as he rose from the dead. But we who were dead in our sins and trespasses were made alive. And when we were made alive, we became new. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you. Meaning, you were lost. You were without hope. You were in sin. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, and in the Spirit of God. So you've been washed. And that word sanctification has a lot of depth and meaning to it that I don't have time to go through right now, but I will tell you, sanctifying is a changing process. You were sanctified, and you are being sanctified, and you will be sanctified. English 101. You're about to be changed. Have that expectation. I came in here this way, and I'm going to leave differently. I'm going to leave with a renewed hope, a new renewed understanding of who the Holy Spirit is in me and what he's about. He's transforming me. He's changing me. He's changing me from one glory to another glory, technically. Second Corinthians 3:18. I'm skipping a couple of scriptures, so. That's it. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, the image of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's work in you, from glory to glory, just as the Lord is, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. See, if we read the scriptures closely in our New Testament, we see that the Spirit is active. Spirit has been sent to help you, to transform you. And the last thing that I want to touch on today that the Spirit does is it unifies. See, if you look around in the room, you guys are looking around the room. If you look around in the room, Rusty, that was not a good look around in the room. That's a good look around. You know what? These are your brothers and sisters. They all have that same spirit that God has given us. And it's a unifying sense that whoever is next to you or behind you or in front of you was once dead and now they're alive, the same way that you were dead and now that you are alive. And we've been unified by the Spirit. You don't have this up there, but Ephesians 2, 18 and 19 says, "For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father." One spirit. The spirit that dwells in you, that you carry with you when you leave here, reminding you that you are a temple. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. "Therefore," this is Paul writing, "the prisoner of the Lord, as the prisoner of the Lord, I entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." Walk worthy. "For with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligently to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." With all humility and gentleness, with patience, show forbearance for one another. Forbearance, put up with. Love them anyway. They were Packer fans. How can you love a Packer fan? Especially after they trumped us. Poor refs. We'll justify it. We'll come under the law there. See, it's easy. It's easy to love people. It's easy to love people who love you. Can you love those who are different? Calls for humility and gentleness and patience. Colossians 3. "And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Put on a heart of kindness, put on a heart of humility, put on a heart of gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also shall you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." Jesus, in his famous prayer in John 17, writes, or it says, "And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that you did send me and did love them even as you did love me." Let us all put on that bond of unity, that bond of love, that bond of compassion, that bond of humility, and care for one another. I have two closing, and I really mean closing. I have two closing scriptures I want to share with you. The first one is from Psalm 143. And the psalmist cries out here, Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I take refuge in thee. Teach me to do your will, for thou art my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Isn't that a great prayer?
Yes.
See me afterwards. Let your good spirit lead me. I trust you. The songs that we sang this morning cried out, oh Lord, do your will in me. Teach me your ways. Let me walk that I may be pleasing to you. And now I'm going to pray over you the same prayer that Paul prayed to the Ephesians. It's in Ephesians 4, and you don't have that up there. I'm sorry, it's in Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 19. And he prays, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God.